Hello, everybody from the nation's capital. Welcome to an episode of the Polititeen podcast. My name is Damon Galvin, and as always, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Max Kalman.
It's good to be on Polititeen, my first appearance, so I'm excited.
Yeah, we're very excited to have you on today. We have a lot of things to cover. We're going to go very in-depth into the House GOP groups reaching a deal on stopgap government funding bill. This is an exciting development. Obviously, it prevents, you know, the government from shutting down, which is something that would affect
us marginally
here.
Important.
Yeah, marginally important, right? But, you know, it affects us here a little bit more in D.C. Do you want to jump into why?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, DC, the shutdown has probably the most effect out of anywhere else in the entire country. And that's largely because DC, one of the primary boosters and focuses of the DC economy is the federal workers. So DC contains 370,000 federal workers, and all of those people will be without payment while the government shuts down.
Yeah, it's important to note that this will only keep the government funded through December 16th. So if you remember earlier in the summer, it was kind of something similar going on with the national debt. We had to increase the debt ceiling. This is kind of falling in line with all of those same elements. It has to do with the national debt. It has to do with maintaining the government funded. So we'll be dealing with this again in December 16th. But what's been interesting, I think, and something that we haven't seen before, is that the party that controls the House is having infighting as it refers to like getting this bill passed, getting the government funded.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they control the entire House. So most of what's been stopping up this bill has been Republican infighting.
Yeah.
And largely the faction of the right who thinks that McCarthy isn't doing enough.
Yeah.
He thinks he's not being, as they would put, fiscally responsible enough. Because the primary reason they've been holding this up is to essentially try and reduce government spending as much as possible.
Yeah, and we also see individuals, obviously we have Marjorie Taylor Greene, but more specifically as it refers to government funding, we've had Matt Gaetz really be opposed to this.
Yeah, he's been the main headliner of this fight.
Yeah, and that's kind of to be expected. It's been interesting because we have these conversations from other people that are inside the House, and they say that like these people really just enjoy being on the headlines. It has nothing to do with like what their actual politics are or what their policy is. But Matt Gaetz specifically has threatened now to replace McCarthy as the Speaker of the House. It only takes one member to call that vote again. So we would go back to having to elect a Speaker of the House and going through this whole process again.
Yeah, if you all can remember that controversy.
Yeah, exactly. That occurred. 2 years ago, earlier this year. Yeah, it was earlier this year, actually. Yeah, you're right, because they swapped and got McCarthy in, but it took, what, 18?
It took way longer than it should have. Because typically what's really interesting is that a lot of times you'll see a smaller faction within the Democratic Party, which is really holds up a lot of the larger Democratic agendas that they're trying to push. But here you're starting to see that flip, where the Democrats have a very unified front and the Republicans are starting to fall apart.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting because it's very typical of Republicans to have the better strategy when it comes to pushing their policies through. And the fact that they can't all unify around one clear message, it's definitely showing a switch in congressional politics.
Yeah, and again, it is a victory for House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, but again, Matt Gaetz was saying that this is also a victory for Joe Biden and that we're handing Biden a victory, which is a little bit disheartening, if you will, because of the fact that like this is an actual thing that affects actual people. A government shutdown doesn't just affect, you know, the 370,000 federal workers here inside of DC. It affects military members, people that are
2 million people in the federal workforce in total.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a very significant portion of our population that would just be without wages because of a government shutdown.
Yeah, and to dive into the historical context of government shutdowns, we had the first partial government shutdown occur in 1976. 23 partial or full government shutdowns have happened since then. The longest one was actually only a couple years ago. It was between 2018 and 2019, and that lasted for 35 days. And again, you know, it has to do with the disagreements between typically it has to do with the disagreements between presidents and Congress over spending priorities. But we're mentioning here, it's a little bit different. It's really had to do with infighting in the Republican
Party. Within their own party. And what's insane about this is a vast majority of Americans cannot afford emergency payments And if they lose one paycheck, that can mean the difference between them getting evicted that month or them having health care for that month. And so even though 35 days being the longest shutdown might not necessarily sound like all that, the federal government not functioning for 35 days and the 2 million workers that go along with that, that's a big deal. Yeah. And the fact that they edge on this, oh, are we gonna shut down? Is it gonna happen?
Yep.
All for their own personal political agendas is just insane, because they're using that and not caring at all about the people it actually affects.
Yeah, and again, going back to the most interesting part of this is that the first partial government shutdown didn't happen till 1976. Mm. And what's been seemingly an issue in our generation is that every year since we've been alive, about once a year, there's a, are we going to shut down the government? And it's a threat, again, that you're mentioning, where it's like they're kind of just playing around. They're edging this idea of shutting down the government. And it seems like it's been happening more. And obviously, well, it doesn't just seem like that. It has been happening more and more and more, and particularly in our generation. So obviously, we only have these government shutdowns reported that, you know, did actually cause the government to shut down. But we also have the threat of government shutdowns. And the Pew Research Center did a very good report on this, that Congress is very bad at doing, you know, this shit on time. They're not good at it at all.
Yeah. And I mean, the issue with government spending as well as the debt ceiling, because I mean, it might not be that we've almost come close to a government shutdown every year, but we've had some major crisis, because each of these very important bills that are required to keep our government functioning at the most basic level, they all need to be voted on a yearly basis.
Mm-hmm.
That includes the spending bill and that includes the debt ceiling bill.
Yeah.
And because none of them just approve spending for more than that period of time, every single year, some faction within the party. And again, the margins in Congress are so small that you do not need a particularly large faction to have a lot of sway. If you have, which is what's going on now, a group of, let's say, 10, 15 Republicans who all agree that we're not going to vote on this bill unless we get these things in there, then it just won't happen. And they can just shut down the government for it.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why, you know, some people propose the solution of changing the way that budgets are passed. As it is right now, Congress must pass a separate spending bill for each federal agency. So that adds a level of complexity to a task that, as we've been mentioning, is extremely important. And it allows for a lot of disagreements. It allows to, you know, people to kind of, again, go back to this scoring political points. It allows them to use a term referred to as like bringing home the bacon, almost, for these agencies, get people in your corner, be more effective in political discourse because of the fact that you can say, oh, well, I funded this and that, and really sway your constituents because of that. So, you know, again, that is a possible solution. Again, some experts have proposed that Congress instead pass a single omnibus bill. And again, these are potential solutions, but as we've been mentioning, it seems like there's something deeper here. And that's kind of what we wanted to go into on this episode.
Yeah,
what exactly is causing this disease? Because just because we create a system that makes it less likely to, or less, I guess, creates less contingency, doesn't really come to the solution of what's going on here.
What's
causing these people to not be able to agree on something so major?
Yeah, exactly. And I think having something called an automatic continuing resolution would actually help a lot. But at the end of the day, what that does is essentially, if they don't pass a spending bill, at least it just carries over the one from the previous year. So we don't face a shutdown when this happens. But again, like Damian was saying, it just ends up, it ends up cutting off the branches instead of actually approaching the root of what the issue is.
Yeah.
And the root is that congressmen, and the vast majority of them, are willing to literally hold our government hostage, saying, I'm willing to have it be shut down unless I get these specific priorities passed. And that's a scary thing. And at the end of the day, it has to just do with that level of pettiness among these Congress members.
Yeah, no. And again, we can look at historical examples of this pettiness. In 2013, Republicans in the House of Representatives passed a spending bill that would have delayed the implementation of the Affordable Care Act. They also attached a rider to that bill that would have defunded Planned Parenthood. The bill was ultimately vetoed by President Obama, but it did lead to a 16-day government shutdown. And again, these are important issues, but these are issues that need to be resolved in different ways. And what's been interesting is that even when we're looking at these historical issues, and we'll delve into other ones that are getting more and more contemporary or you know, closer to the date, but it seems like they're just getting more and more petty. If you will, and especially with the most recent situation going on with Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene, where it's kind of just they're really holding the government hostage for their own personal situation. And something that we're also seeing that with is with the election of or the approval of military officials in various positions. Mm-hmm. There's one, and I'll look it up right now, but there's one specific congressman who's literally holding up positions, heads of the military, from being elected simply because he doesn't want to. I think his stance is that there needs to be more done for abortion, and that abortion needs, you know, there needs to be like a federal abortion ban passed. And he's refusing to do something. He's doing something that has never been done before, which is we don't have leaders in military positions because of him.
Yeah. And I mean, what's scary is on a broader sense, looking back at the budget, the debt ceiling, military officials being approved, the larger point is that increasingly more and more political, what's called hostage situations are happening, wherein they have a group which is willing to shoot down whatever bill, no matter how important it is, unless they get they're totally separate and irrelevant to whatever that bill is, those priorities passed. And you're seeing it expand to more and more issues. Like you said, unprecedented approval of military leaders. It's increasing more and more and more of these hostage situations, which just put everyday Americans at risk for these little minute political gains.
Yeah, and this is a Tommy Tuberville. This is the individual that I was talking about. He was a representative from Alabama, and it is in relation to equal access to reproductive health care services. So obviously on the federal level, military members that are seeking to have reproductive health care services, the military will pay for that, fund it, need whatever, you know, provide whatever needs this individual has. And Tuberville is just like, nah, pass the nomination of these 301 senior military leaders just for this one political point. And it's something that is happening, obviously. It's leaking into other areas. We had seen it before with you know, the spending bills and whatnot. It's always the same thing. It's Democrats, you know, wanting to spend more money, and then Republicans being like, that's not fiscally responsible, but they just want to spend more money on other things, which is the other half of the issue here. That we have a huge misappropriation of funds inside of the United States. We spend more on our military than our next 29 allies combined. And that's not to say that we can't spend more on our military than our next 29 allies combined and the next 9 nations in general combined, but we can do both. We can take care of the people that we need to take care of. We can provide for, again, these 300,000 plus individuals in the nation's capital and the 2 million across the world, genuinely, while still funding our military and while still making sure that the operations that need to be had are happening.
Yeah, exactly. And what I think is most ironic is the Republicans who continuously call for more and more what they call fiscal responsibility, trying more and more to balance the budget. They continuously pass tax cuts for the extremely wealthy. And if you look at any budget, a company, corporation, whatever it is, you have two ways that you can raise money. You have revenue and you have cutting down on expenses. So they're so focused on cutting down the government expenses for things like welfare and healthcare and things that will actually help certain people and are very focused on bringing down the government's overall revenue, not through lowering your taxes, but through lowering the taxes of the top 1%.
Yeah.
If you look at the
raising your taxes.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of times even raising your taxes as well. If you look at the tax bill that Trump passed, claiming to be more fiscally responsible because it had quote unquote tax cuts, 90% of those benefits went to the top 1% of Americans.
Yeah, and the interesting part is that after 2022, those benefits disappeared for you.
Yeah.
They were only through 2022, which was it's something that, again, it goes back to this political pettiness. It's something that's done on purpose, because when is the election? Oh, 2020. So by 2022... if Donald Trump is no longer in office, he can blame Joe Biden for your taxes increasing. And if Donald Trump is in office, then he'll say, well, he cut taxes in 2017, and in 2022, Democrats refused to do it again.
Exactly.
So it's a very calculated political maneuver. And it's unfortunate because it has consequences for not only these individuals, but it also has consequences for you in your day-to-day lives more than you would think. United States Postal Service employees are funded by the government. So, you know, mail that you need to receive, all of this, packages, anything that you mm-hmm. would consider important to not only your day-to-day like individual needs, but also business needs. A lot of businesses, the vast majority of businesses, are supported through the United States Postal Service. And it's not to say that these individuals won't be at work. Unfortunately, they have to go to work,
yeah,
but they just won't be getting paid. And it's the same thing with TSA agents. And we see this every single time that a government shutdown is threatened or a government shutdown happens. All of a sudden, TSA agents like to get very sick. And who blames them, right? And it's unfortunate because it almost is like you see news networks and media like blaming them, being like, oh, 2,000 plus TSA agents called in sick today, and this, that, without realizing the fact is, like, who would want to go to work without getting paid?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, everyone has experienced some asshole at TSA, but if you wonder why they're so mean, it's because, like, oh yeah, because one person in Congress decides to be petty and score his political move, that means that they just don't get paid for what could be a month or longer.
Yeah.
And it just becomes this insane looping process. And the scariest part is that as congressmen and congresspeople become more and more petty, you see more and more of these situations that will just harm you objectively for whatever political means they want.
Yeah. And again, the most unfortunate part about this, too, is that for these specific issues, if you're looking at the statistics, if you're looking at the data, if you're looking at what the American people support, let's take the specific case of equal reproductive care. 70%+ of Americans support equal access to reproductive care.
Mm-hmm.
Why is one representative from Alabama, like Alabama, come on, seriously? Why is one representative from Alabama holding 301 military officials hostage, essentially, with their jobs? They're not receiving their pensions. They're not adding to their 401k. And as mentioned by other military officials who are in their positions, it also affects not only these 301 individuals, but also everyone under them. Because people don't know what they're supposed to be doing. People don't know the positions that they're in. And also, certain things can't get approved. There's a specific case that was mentioned where one military official was supposed to be promoted. But obviously, a promotion can't happen if there's not a higher officer to, you know, approve that promotion. But they were supposed to be promoted. And as a benefit of this promotion, they're supposed to get a house. And they were going to use this house to take care of their elderly mother. Well, since there's 301 military officials being held out by Tupperville, this person has to continue paying for services for their mother in an elderly home, and is now tens of thousands of dollars in debt. A military member, someone that we claim is going and protecting the freedoms that we're supposed to have, and we're not giving them the basic decency to keep our promises. It's absurd.
We're not letting them just live their most basic needs they need for their life, like taking care of their mother, and even a lot of times medical expenses once they're out of the service. like the worst part of this too is Republicans are the ones always talking about fiscal responsibility and how much they love our troops, but at the end of the day, they're not willing to put their money where their mouth is, quite literally, to help them and to make sure that the people who serve to protect this country, who love this country the most, actually get the benefits and are taken care of by the United States as they should be.
Yeah, and the even more unfortunate reality of it is that we can criticize Republicans all we want, but honestly, there's a level of inaction from Democrats as well.
Oh, entirely.
You know, one thing that I have always, you know, and you can go back and look at past episodes of this podcast, one thing that I've always given Republicans credit for is getting shit done. It might not be the right shit for the vast majority of Americans. It might not be what Americans support, whether that be 74% of Americans supporting gun reform, them refusing to pass gun reform, 70% of Americans, you know, wanting equal access to health, reproductive health care, them, you know, going with the Dobbs case and overturning Roe v. Wade. There's cases that just go on and on. Education spending. We want our education spending to go up, and our education spending hasn't gone up. But the reality is that when they want something done, they get it done. And the Dobbs case is a perfect example of that. When they wanted to load the Supreme Court, they loaded the Supreme Court, and Democrats aren't willing to do the same for their constituents. The game that they play is, look at how bad those guys are messing up. We don't mess up as bad.
Yeah, exactly. And it also just ends up giving the Democrats an excuse to do nothing, because they're scoring their political wins by what they're letting the Republicans do.
Yep.
And they are able to just play the blame game all day, every day.
Yep.
And that's what you see their constant messaging as. I'm so afraid of the Republicans. The Republicans are so scary. These people are fascists. These people are authoritarian. These people are this. People are that. But at the end of the day, they use that rhetoric as an excuse to get nothing done themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it just leads to a shame for this entire country.
Yeah, and again, when we were writing the script for this episode, we were thinking about, oh, you know, just covering the spending bill. You know, oh, you know, we got it passed. We got it temporarily passed. Told us. But the reality is that if we come and cover it now, when we were looking at this, the language is the exact same year after year. The only thing that goes up is the number of people affected. You know, if you go back to 2015, 2014, when there was the verge of another government shutdown, it was 200,000 workers in DC were on the verge of being affected by a government shutdown. The only thing that changes is that now that number is 300 plus thousand, and then it's going to be 400 plus thousand. And instead of 2 million across the globe, it's going to be 3 million and 3.5 million. And 4 million, and we're going to continue to toy with people's lives when it's something that we don't need to do. We can have more effective systems of government, and it comes with replacing these individuals that have been there since the first partial government shutdown in 1976. And we saw Mitt Romney take a step towards doing that, and it really did catch me off guard. Were you familiar with what happened with Romney recently?
No.
He's not seeking re-election, and the major reason that he's not seeking re-election is because he wants a next generation to come in and you know, pass the torch to, essentially. And although I didn't agree with Romney always politically, again, it's something that's to a certain extent admirable, because he's even mentioning things like climate change. This is an issue for the next generation, and whether we agree with it or not, it's an issue for them. So something needs to be done about it.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, when you look at what our most likely ticket is, assuming the Republican candidate is not in prison, we have two people who are going to be over the age of
close
70,
to 80. It's going
to
be
both
80.
Close to 80. Joe Biden is
older 80s. 80, and I think Trump will be 79.
Yeah, and he'll be 80 by the end of his term. These people are way too old to be representing, especially our generation.
Yeah. Joe Biden was old in 2000. And now 20 years later,
it's insane. And like, when I look at the worst part is when I look at like my grandpa, I do not want my grandpa running this country.
Yeah.
No offense, grandpa, but I love you, but you are not as sharp as you were 30 years ago.
Of course.
And Joe Biden is not as sharp as he was 30 years
ago.
And
it's not even
Donald Trump isn't as sharp.
It's about the lack of understanding for contemporary issues that are going to affect our generation and not affect theirs at all. Their priority is passing a spending bill to score political points. Our priority is making sure that our planet is still here so that we can have these little petty bickerings 20, 30, 40 years from now.
Yeah, exactly.
But with that being said, I think that that was a pretty in-depth conversation surrounding what exactly is going on with this House spending bill. Obviously, a lot of the things that we say can be applied, but it's specific to these things. And we suggest that you guys go and do the exercise that we did. Go and read these stories, or go and listen to
Also, be careful, because when we were researching for this podcast, we were looking up stuff about this spending bill, and Damien was sitting reading this whole article, was like, wait, it got extended to January. I thought it was December. He was getting all confused. I was like, check the date. It was from 2019.
Yeah.
So like at the end of the day, as specific as this episode is, and as much as you can research this specific issue, I have a bad feeling that this is going to be a timeless episode, because we're going to see the debt ceiling issue or the budget issue or some other yearly issue that's going to end up tanking the United States happen within the next, over the next year, probably the year after.
We'll see you guys December 16th when we cover this issue.
Yeah. Again. We'll put out this same exact episode and see if anyone can notice.
Yeah, exactly. But no, with that being said, thank you all for tuning into another episode of Politatine Podcast. Max, thank you so much for joining me, your first episode.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. It was a great time.
It was an absolute pleasure, and we'll be sure to have Max back on again in the near future. But with that being said, once again, thank you so much for tuning into yet another episode. If you guys want to stay up to date with everything that is Politatine related, be sure to head over to oxinstitute.org. And yes, goodbye.
Bye.